But we're beginning the 19th parak of Shabbos, Daf Kuf Lamed, Rabbi Elazar of the Mila, and most of the sigyas are related to Hilchos Mila. I don't want to get involved in Hilchos Eirvin and Hotzah. That does come up. That's very involved. This is a summer kollel. In the past, we've been notorious for learning very deep sugyas. We learned Shechita last year. We learned Yuma the year prior. But that being the case, Eirvin's a whole other world. So I'm going to try to ignore some of the Eirvin Hotzah sugyas. But this very first sugya, I felt there's a good opportunity to learn it. Chai knows that Atmo is an easier sugya of the Hotzah discussions. Now, we can't really appreciate everything in its entirety because it is a big sugya. But let's at least touch upon some important points as an overview of the sugya of Chai Noset Atzmo. So we began the Mishnah. The Mishnah talks about the very important machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva about the machshirin and being docha Shabbos or not, legavi brismila, and in general. And Tosos asks a very fundamental question, because Rabbi Elazar has this din that if you didn't bring the kli merav Shabbos, so you could bring it on Shabbos itself, and there's a machlokas whether you should bring it megula or mechusa, and cover it or expose it as you're carrying something blatantly on Shabbos, should you do this in Betzina or not? And the Gemara that you'll see tomorrow has a chakir, what exactly the explanation is, why one would try to showcase that you're carrying something outside. So Tosis asks this question, so how come you're bringing the kli? Won't it be a better option to bring the child? Via viu hatinuk etza kli, the hashta, leke iser, Shabbos klau, the achai, no se et atmo. That since a person is chai nos atmo, he lifts himself up, so therefore it won't be a violation of Shabbos, it's only going to be pater. Rabbi Nosson's of the opinion that a person that is a chai is no se et atmo, it's only a pater, a totza, but it's a pater val aser. But carrying a kli, that's an iser the rice of otza. So wouldn't it be better to carry a child than it is to carry a kli? That's the shaila. So the Tosa answers, V'yesh lomar, dekatan tzarech li'imo, who? The achar mila hayat tzarech lachzir li'imo, after the mila, and then he needs to be taken to his mother, he needs to be nursed, he needs to be taken care of. V'az have a kapos l'fi shuchola. He's kapos, he's bound. And when a child is bound, he doesn't have the ability to carry himself anymore. He's like a chola, and therefore that's a violation of hotzah. So therefore, we don't want to get involved in that hotzah after the fact. Before the fact, you're carrying the kli, it's letzarech mitzvah. So then you go for the kli over the child. But to put yourself in a situation where you're going to have to carry the child after the meal is over, and the child at that point is going to be kapos, is going to be a chola, so we don't want to do a violation. That's not chai, no, it's atmo. It's only if the child is, in fact, a healthy child. Okay, so that's the din of Tosos. So it comes out clearly from Tosos is prior to the Bris Milah, though. Before the Bris Milah is done, the child is under the category of Chai Noset Atzmo. A newborn, an infant, is Chai Noset Atzmo. And the Ramban, as you all saw, took issue with this. So it doesn't make any sense. The Tino Katan Kol Kach Kikapos Dami Afilu Kodem Mila. A infant, a newborn, is Kikapos. So there's a very fundamental machlokas here, whether you view a tinok ben echad as a chaynos et atzmo, or a kikapos as kecholam. That's the machlokas. Now, I know a number of you continue reading the Ramban, which was a good idea to do. It's important to have this in the back of the mind. I'm not going to get involved in the sugi right now. We will later on. The Ramban himself gives a different explanation why you're allowed to carry the kli. Why do you choose the kli to carry, as opposed to carrying the tinok? Because there's a din of the Amr Rahman, he writes, the Ramban writes, Machshir Mila Afila B'Shabbos. That the Machshir Mila, he has it later on in the piece, actually, those who saw it inside, he calls it a Mila Arichta. That the Hechshir Mitzvah is actually a Mila Arichta. It's all one long Maisa, which is very important for how to understand a Hechshir Mitzvah in general, that relationship between a Hechshir Mitzvah and the Mitzvah Atmo. But the Ramban clearly assumes that when Mila is Docha Shabbos, it's a hutra. We know the Gemara in Yuma has a question when tuma b'tzibur is docha karban tzibur, right? With the rova the am is tame. The Gemara in Pesachim tells us you could bring the karban tame, the karban pesach at it's hutra or dechuya. So which one is it? So the Gemara says, is it hutra? Do we say once rova am is tuma, so we can avoid tuma and whoever you want to be the kohen is fine? Or do we say, no, we let you bring the karban if rova am is tame, but that's dechuya. We really rather a kohen who's tar to still do this. So Hutcha Dechuy is the Chakir the Gemara explains. So here as well, the Mefarshim explain, it's pretty explicit in the Rishonim, that the Ramban holds it's Hutcha. We don't care about anything. You could bring the Kli, we don't care about the Tinok being Chaynos it's Asmo. The Kli being brought before the Mitzvah of Bris Milah is Hutcha, and therefore no Shilas. While the Tosus doesn't, he's not comfortable with this, Tosus thinks it's Dechuya. And we don't want to carry the Kli. Ah, there's a mitzvah bris milah on Shabbos. Yeah, there's a mitzvah bris milah. But that's only dechuya. We want to avoid having to violate Shabbos if possible. And therefore, we have to think of another pshat, namely that the chai no says atzmo, and he had to come onto kapos. So that's one underlying point which we're going to ignore till we get to daf kuflam gimel, where the Shabbos, where the bris milah is docha Shabbos, is that hutra or dechuya. Our focus is going to be the status of a tinok ben echad, ben yom echad, whether that tinok is considered kichainos et atzmo, or whether that's considered kikapos, a kichola, and that's not a chai nosa et atzmo. So we need a little bit of a background how to understand chai nosa et atzmo work. So firstly, let's just go through a number of dinim about, in general, how we paskin legavi chai nosa et atzmo. Firstly, there's a machlokus between Rabbi Nosson and Chachamim whether you actually say chai nosa et atzmo. Chachamim say, if you carry a person, there's a chiv skila. That's mamish malacha. There is no concept of chai nosa et atzmo according to Ramban, or rather Rabbanon, according to many opinions. And Rabbi Nosson says, no, chai nosa et atzmo is only pater. Aval aser, but it's not a chiv misa. It's no chayiv chata, it's no chiv skila. It's a ptur, it's a pater aval aser. So Chacham say it's a chiv deraisa, and Rabbi Nosson holds it's pater aval aser. That's according to most Rishonim, that's a machlokis tanayim, whether chay nos et asmo exists or doesn't exist. Just as an aside, those who've learned Hilchas Nida, there's an interesting pischei tshuva, chay nos et asmo. Anyone know what I'm talking about here? The din of passing a child. We know one of the dinim of the harchakos, you can't pass objects to the wife, to the husband, if the wife is in nida. So what about passing a child? Is that allowed? So Pischei Tshuva quotes from one of the Tshuvos that since a child is chai, nosa et atzmo, so that is going to be grounds that you're allowed to pass a child, because somehow the child is not being carried, he's helping the carrying. It's not directly from husband to wife, wife to husband. The child is being misayeh bedavar. That's a daya that the Pischei Tshuva quotes in Hilchas Nida, but it's rejected. We don't accept that explanation. That is not it does not connect to Hilchas Nida at all. But we see that they do entertain this possibility outside the world of Hilchas Shabbos. Fine. Second example, we have second application of chai nosa et atzmo is when it comes to a chola. So he already saw Tosos who quoted, a chola, everybody agrees. If a child or person's ill, so then it would not be chai nosa et atzmo. The Gemara there in Yuma, anyone saw it inside, is talking about the ish iti. The Gemara, the Pasuk in Achrimos talks about the din of sending the Sar Lazazel off the cliff. So the Gemara says that's able to even violate the Shabbos and Yom Kippur and Hotzah. Let's say that ish iti. Let's say that person was ill. So the Gemara says you could carry that guy to make sure he makes it over to the cliff so he could push off that Sar Lazazel. So the Gemara says, isn't it going to be a problem of a chai nosa et atzmo? The Gemara says, no, it's kapos. Kapos, and the guy's sick. Rather, he says it's a chola. And when a person's a chola, that's not chai nosa et atzmo. So you need a special pasuk that ish iti afilo b'shabbos, you could carry him. But had not been for that pasuk, so you wouldn't be able to carry the chola. So we learn from that din that a chola is not chai nosa et atzmo. The Gemara says another exception to the din, kapos. The Gemara in the Shabbos Tzadidal, if a guy is bound, he's tied up, and he can't strengthen himself, that's another exception where we don't say chai nosa et atzmo. I'm just listing different areas to build up to understanding the case of a child. And then you also saw the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Tzadi Dalid that this machlok is about a behema. Whether or not a behema is also subject to chai nosa et atzmo or not. And there the Gemara had a machlok is between Rabbi Nosson and Rabbanon yet again. So Rabbi Nosson says that, yeah, you say the same din of chai nosa et atzmo even by a behema, just like by an adam. And the Rabbanon argue and say, no, that you don't say chai nosa et atzmo by a behema, because misharveti nafshayu, the animal puts pressure and tries to hold down to the ground as best as possible, so the weight is much harder. You don't say chai nos et asmo by behema. So that is subject to a machlokas. So we're all good right now. We built up. So machlokas in general, everybody agrees no chai nos et asmo by a chola. Everyone agrees it doesn't exist by a kapos. And there's another machlokas when it comes to a behema as well. So now, what about tinok? How do we understand the discussion of a tinok? So anyone saw the machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos? What is the explanation of chai nos et asmo? What is the svara? So what's Rashi shita? It's mekel. Rashi writes in Tadi Gimel Mabez, he gives you a svara to whom mekel atmo venosa atmo. He helps carry his weight a little bit. The muscles he has in the body helps to loosen the weight. A person is a mace. A person's dead. Everybody agrees that's not chai nos et asmo. That's like carrying an object. That's a chiv skila. That's a chiv chatas. But when a person's alive, the muscles are holding the body up. It makes it lighter, and therefore you are it's not a subject to a violation of hotza. That's the sheet of Rashi. Tosa argues. Tosa says, so you mean if you carry a feather? I've got a bag of feathers. It's very light, lighter than a child. So I won't violate hotza if I carry that? Tosa says it has nothing to do at all with the weight of something. It doesn't make any sense. Weight, heavier, lighter. What's Tosa's pshat? Mishkan. Right? We always look to the Mishkan as a source of the melachas. So he says it's a simple, somewhat of a gzeir shakasif. No svar at all. Since in the Mishkan they didn't carry any animals, so therefore when it comes to carrying people, there is no violation of melacha. It's a gzeiras hakasav learnt out yalfinan mi Mishkan that no animals were carried there, no humans were carried during the Mishkan building, and therefore there's no hotzah. While Rashi explains the reason why there's no hotzah is because a person is mekel atzmo, he makes himself lighter. So yes. The great question. That's exactly what Tosafos Rush asks on him. He doesn't have an answer. Tosafos Rush says one of his questions he has is that it doesn't fit into the language. Right, you saw that in Tosafos Rush? So I'll tell you, that's the question he has. He doesn't have an answer. I don't know what Tosafos would respond to this. Tafsadi Dalad. He says, "Lo niharli." Doesn't make sense to me. Delishna shachai nos et atmo lo mashma kaperishe. Exactly what you said, Eli. So he doesn't have an answer for this. I'm not sure how it would fit in. But what the yeah?
Well, that'd be like Rosh Terbach once said in the Tshuva that even though the Rish says it's based on the Mishkan, it's also based on the.
Right.
There are plenty of things that they didn't do in the Mishkan that are still aser.
Right.
So it's also connected to the svara.
Exactly. Rosh Terbach said this, and Rav Moshe writes this in the long Tshuva. He thinks it's hard to say that they're two different dinim. That to say the Gzeiras HaKasev and Rashi are completely independent, they both find that hard to imagine. But the simple pshat is that they are arguing. Tosas argues on Rashi, but the response is that even Tosas requires that svara. That number one is the person lifting himself up, plus the fact that it wasn't the Mishkan. That combination, like Rav Shurmach says, is what's needed to prove why a person who's being carried is not a violation of Hotzah. So some combination there, but there certainly has to be some level of machlokas. So Tosos, while he includes the Gzer Sakasiv, Rashi doesn't include Gzer Sakasiv. Rashi just learns it's a svara, that person is mekel, it's atzma. Fine. Yes, Eli?
Also, I didn't understand Rashi as a weight requirement. I understood it more as the person is making it easier to be carried, so that the person's not, let's say, doing the entire law himself.
Right, so that's how Tosfos Rush understands Rashi as well. He explains that the person is being misayeh b'davar. He's helping, he's assisting in the carrying. So that's exactly, it's not weight, it's strength. It's misayeh b'davar. If you look at the end of Tosfos Rush, he speaks about this in and of being misayeh b'davar.
The pashut pshat of reading Rashi is it the weight issue?
That's certainly how Tosfos understood it. And Tosfos has a very good kasha, so I think you're forced into explaining like the Tosfos Rush. That's not a weight issue, like you just said. It's the fact that you're being Messiah Bedavar, that Shnaim Sha'aso. if two people are doing a malacha together, so that's not a violation of malacha. They're each helping each other, like what you just said. So that mamish, what your question and answer is exactly what Tosfos Rashi was saying. He had your question, he had your answer, so that's what comes out. So I believe once we come on to this machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos, that Rashi said it's about seeing misayeh b'davar, the child, the person's helping being carried. And Tosfos says it's a limud from the Mishkan. I think this is how you could explain the machlokas, whether a tinuk, whether an infant, a newborn, is subject to chaynos et atmo or not. So what would you say? I think it's a very seamless explanation. Rav Shurbach pretty much says this as well. How would you connect it? Again, the question of whether or not a tinuk, ben yom echad, is subject to hotza or not, I believe it connects to Rashi and Tosfos, the explanation as to why we say chaynos et atmo. Any suggestions?
Yeah, nothing. I feel like this one said it's a blanket rule. Anyone that's high is going to know it's atzmo, so it's going to apply to what Kino Kenyo also doesn't matter. But Rashi's a svar based on it's megalatzmo, so
necessarily apply to the baby. Beautiful, exactly. That's exactly right, which comes out Tosfos and Lishitaso, right? Tosfos says that since it's learned out from the Mishkan, they never carried any animals, any humans. So regardless of the age, granted a newborn is not going to have the muscle strength to lift up its neck and body to help you, but you look at the limud, and since they didn't carry babies and animals in the Mishkan, therefore there is no chiv chatas. But Rashi, it's all based on a svara, so it's only a person who has strength to carry his neck and carry his body will have the ability to say chai no sit asmo. But an infant who doesn't have that neck strength or the weight, the strength to hold, the muscle strength to hold his body up, there would not have the heter of Rashi and would seemingly be a chiv of a hotza on Shabbos.
Didn't the Gemara itself give the case of Kaf as an exception to the Ruch? So the Ramban's question is still a question. He's asking on Tosfos that it should have been Kaf. The just because of the blanket rule, why wouldn't it be kapos?
So who says that it will be a din of kapos necessarily?
Rabban,
but how do you know that everyone else has to extend it to a din of kapos?
Because it's mitzvah, so you can't move.
No, the child can move. The hands move, the arms move and stuff. But kapos is a din. The way I would explain it is, I think you could add this lumdus in, of whether or not you view a child. I think when we do the case of a person sleeping, let's say, I think I might explain this as well, but I'll say it now anyways. When you view a rock, or let's say a mace, a person who's a dead body, that is not a gaver, that's a chefza, right? That's a chefza, it's an object that's being carried. And a person who's alive, let's say an older person, an older child, an adult, that's considered someone chai, that's alive, that's a gaver. So the question becomes, when you tie something down, kapos, what's that understanding? So I think seemingly once you tie a person down where he can't move, he doesn't have the ability to move at all, so then that would be more of a chefza, that would be more of an object that one's carrying. A child, although it may not have the strength, the muscle strength of something else, of someone else, it's still not tied down. I don't think you would call it a chefza of that sort. I think that's part of the same conversation of a person who's sleeping as well. We'll get to that in greater depth. But a person who's sleeping, whether you view that person as an object or a gavra, I think that is part of this discussion as well. But I think that's also a question I was wondering myself. That's the best I could do. I think it does require more hesber to explain why Tosfos thinks that a tinok is not compared to one who's a kapos. I think it's a very good question. Okay, so let's now move on to a case of a person who's sleeping. Now, there's a fascinating Shaila brought down the Piskei Teshuvah, which I hope you saw, about whether or not carrying a person who's yashen, a person who's sleeping on Shabbos, whether or not that's considered chai, noseg, at ta'atzmo or not. So I don't want to repeat anyone. I think maybe only one of you were here for, maybe two of you, for Shavuos night. You're Shavuos night? I don't know if you were when I spoke Shavuos night. You somewhere? No? Eitan, you were away, right? You weren't here.
No,
you're here. So I spoke. You were here. Fine. So I don't want to repeat for the few that you were here, but I'll just give Rashi Prakim on the discussion of carrying chai, a person who's alive. Rather, a person who's sleeping. So if you're carrying someone who's sleeping, so I spoke Shavuos night about whether or not in general one who's a yashin, one who's sleeping, whether or not that person's kechai or kemes. How do you view a person who's sleeping? We know the Gemara in Brachos tells us that a person who's sleeping is 1/60th dead. It's 1/60th of Misa. So you could declare whether or not that person who's sleeping is kemes or kechai dam. So just to bring it out a little bit, there's a number of nafkaminas that the Piskei Tshuva, who raised the question by Hotsa, he also has a question where I started off Shavuos night. The person, let's say, had fleshiks. He's now asked to wait 6 hours. And then he goes to sleep. So now he's a Shiloh. Will that sleeping, will that reset the 6 hour wait that one normally has to wait? I'm assuming everyone here waits 6 hours. If they don't, they should. But that's another discussion. Regardless of your minhag, we love minhagim, we certainly do. But the poskim say, the Shach, the Taz, and all others, those should be machmir in themselves, the Yirei Shemayim. Those who dedicate their summers to learn, I consider you guys all Yirei Shemayim. So you guys should all wait 6 hours, unless there are some medical reasons not to. It's good for self-control. So I'm assuming you all wait 6 hours. So the Piskei Teshuva has a Shaila now. So let's say you go to sleep. So the metabolism works much faster when your body's sleeping. It allows everything else to rest, and the metabolism will work at a very fast pace. So if the whole reason for waiting between 6 hours, meat and milk, is because of the digestive system, so the Piskei Teshuva thought that maybe you should reset the clock. And when you wake up, you know, I know in camp, we used to have barbecues at 3 o'clock in the morning. We'd wake up fleishiks, so you wouldn't have cereal. The Piskei Teshuva thought maybe one would be allowed to, and there's such a school of thought that you'd be allowed to. And the Chasam Sofer also thought this way, but he ended up passing differently because of Ma'aseh Shehayah that happened to him. So there's a question, I just found it fascinating that in two places, the Piskei Teshuva asks this question about the halacha of sleep, whether you view sleep as resetting the clock for 6 hours, and here again, a person sleeping, in terms of carrying a sleeping person, whether it's a violation. So now we have a person, yeah.
Well, he's saying you would reset the clock because of Metzias, that you would digest faster, or because you're like canola dummy, that you're born again?
So I explained, he didn't say canola dummy. I wanted to give a pshat, it's canola dummy, that might be a pshat as well. According to him, it seemed, he didn't even explain so much. So the understanding of the poskim were that it was a metabolism issue. But in terms of Nola, I think that's a good point, because I did connect it to the Netiyas Adayim. We wash hands in the morning. So the two reasons why we wash hands in the morning, every Negavasa, one is because your hands are dirty, or otherwise the Rashba says because you're a new creation, it's a Briya Chadasha each morning. So there's this concept when you fall asleep, you die, and you wake up again. That would be another explanation as well. Other questions of sleep. Are you chayv in mitzvahs while you're sleeping? Do you have to wear tzitzis when you sleep? Are you counted as part of a minyan when you sleep? These are all questions that poskim talk about, which seemingly have to are related to when a person is sleeping. Is he kechay dami or is he kemeis dami? So that seems to be part of this conversation here of the Piskei Teshuva. When you're carrying a person sleeping, is he considered kechay or is he considered kemeis dami? That's part of this conversation, I believe. But also part of the conversation is how much is he mekel atzmo or not? I mean, according to Rashi, who says about a person who's mekel atzmo, who's helping himself being carried, when you're sleeping, you can't really help yourself being carried. So Rashi would seemingly say you'd be chayiv for carrying one who's sleeping. But according to Tosus, who says unequivocally that based on the Mishkan, no animal, no chai was being carried. So according to Tosfos, carrying a sleeping person would be also permitted because based on the Mishkan. Anyone have a chance to see the footnote in the Piskei Teshuva? Fascinating discussion of Piskei, a very, very beautiful piece here. He has a Stama Shaila connected to this Indian. It's a great thing to maybe next year I should speak about this on Shavuos, I don't know. But remind me maybe, Shlomo, remind me next year, okay? So, or Yisrael may remind me, or Eitan, one of the chever here, Jacob can remind me, anyone can remind me what to speak on next year. He wants to know, how can Moshe Rabbeinu carry the Luchos down from Har Sinai on Yom Kippur? And we know the second Luchos was on Yom Kippur. So Yom Kippur, you can't carry, it's just like Shabbos, you can't carry either. And there's no Erev there. And Har Sinai was Rosh HaYachid. Because Rosh HaYachid is Dalad by Dalad and Yud Tvachim High. Har Sinai was very small, but it was at least Asar Tvachim High. And when you get down from Har Sinai to where the Am was, that's Rosh HaRabim. The Klai Yisrael is the model for 600,000 people. Right? There's a machlokas how one defines Rosh HaRabim. Either it's 16 Amos, the Gemara says, and Rashi's Mechadish 600,000 people based on Bnei Yisrael walking through the Midbar. So he carried the Luchos from Rosh HaYachid to Rosh HaRabim. That's a violation of Hotzah Medaraisa. And so he says in the footnote here, the Piskei Teshuva writes, that perhaps you could say, because the Luchos was Bechina Chai Nose Etz Atzmo. And he brings a raya from the Or HaChaim HaKadosh in Parshas Ekev, who writes that the Shnei Luchos, the Pasuk says, Al Shtei Yadai. We know Al Shtei Yadai. They're all on the hands. He should have been, that Moshe was being Nose. I mean, that they were on top of his hands. So says the Or HaChaim, because they weren't mamish being held in the hands. They were floating above his hands, and there was chai noset atzmo. He was carrying something alive with energy to it, like a human being, and therefore there was no violation of hotzah bishas kabbalas hatorah. Fascinating, Or Chaim, fascinating piskei tshuva here. Yes. That was also floating.
Right.
Yeah, that was floating, and even the everything else was floating as well.
Right.
So that's a fascinating pshat, an understanding of the carrying of the luchos. Now there's one last piece here of another area where they bring up chaynoset atmo. That's a sugya of what's called greira. So the Mishnah on Kuf Chaf Ches Amid Beis, I wrote on an Aleph, I meant to say Kuf Chaf Amid Beis, talks about a situation which is not uncommon. A child who's not able to, he's not willing to walk, and you have to push him, you have to drag him. So the din is that the Mishnah says if you end up dragging him, one can't drag such a child. And Rashi says because if you drag such a child, so then that's a violation of carrying him. You're pulling him and he's not willing to move his feet. You're just pulling him along the grass, along the street. That's a violation of being no sasso carrying him. That's a violation of hotza. Who argues on this, Rashi? Who argues on Rashi? Rashi says it's hotza deraisa. He says, the person who drags him, a gorer aser, mipnesha no sasso, you're carrying him by dragging him. The Ran says, that's not called hotza. Hotzah is when you lift something off the ground. When you drag a kid by his his neck, so that's simply a gzera, lest you come to carry him. But that dragging itself is only an iser midirban. That's only a gzera. Rashi says it's mamish grera. It's mamish a hotzah b'shabbos. So that's Rashi l'shitaso. Because Rashi holds, the only time it's nechai knows it's atzmo, is only if the child is assisting. He's being misayeh b'davar, helping. But the moment he's dragging his legs and putting his weight down, he's kapos dummy. He's like a bema who's sharvet yodav, who's placing his hands down, the claws onto the ground. That's mamish kinose dummy, and that'd be a violation of a deraisa according to Rashi. While the Ran would seemingly say otherwise, that he would not think it's a violation of deraisa, he has some different definition where you have to mamish carry it off the ground. That's the Ran shita. Now the Ran's understanding is based on a Baal Mor. But I want to say the Baal Mor. You can look at the Baal Mor on your own. There's a fascinating two tshuvas in the Rav Moshe. But the Baal Mor, I'll make mention of it at the end maybe. But there's a machlokas again, when you drag a child, is that a hotza deraisa, or is that only an iser midirabanan and gzeira, lest you come to carry? So what's a nafkamina? Well, one nafkamina, of course, is yirchai v'chatas. That's pashup shat. But another nafkamina would be, is whether you could do this in a karmelis. Right, and a karmelis is only an iser midirban as well. So if you hold that greira is an iser deraisa in rishus harabim, so then the poskim, if you look at the Shulchan Aruch, I don't think you had a chance to look at all this. I'm just saying very quickly because it's a big sugya. But if you look in the poskim, the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Brura, there's a question whether or not greira, you're dragging a child, applies in karmelis as well. So if you hold like Rashi that greira is an iser deraisa of Hotzah in Rishus Sarabim, so then they made a Gzera in a Karmelis as well, according to Rashi. This is what Mishnah Berurah explains. But if you assume that Gzera itself is only an Isser Midrabanan, it's only Gzera in Rishus Sarabim, so then to extend the Gzera in the Karmelis as well, that's a Gzera on a Gzera, and Ein goes in Gzera al Gzera. So in other words, the Mishnah Berurah says a Nafkamina, where the Gzera is their Isa, or Gzera is only a Derabanan, the Nafkamina is about whether it's us in a Karmelis or not us in a Karmelis. That's the Nafkamina.
Doesn't Mishnah Berurah say somewhere else that a Karmelis is almost like, until like Rishus Harabim would not be Hotzah in some ways, and therefore even if you have a double Derabanan, two Derabanans, it's the Karmelis is like Mesha, like, and they're Machmer.
Could be. So I don't know if the Mishnah Berurah says it. Could be. He says that elsewhere. I don't remember. The ones that we saw? Yeah? Did I miss that line?
Where he says it by
He does say the Isser applies in Karmas, but he doesn't say because the Karmas is like Rishis Rabim. Unless I'm wrong.
To be Machmir,
right. But not for the Svara that a Karmas is an extension of a Rishis Rabim, just because the Shita of Rashi, that's since in the Deraisa, in Rishis Rabim, extended the Rabban to a Karmas. But Rabbi Kivi Eger, I thought you were going to say Rabbi Kivi Eger, he says that even if you assume that Greira in general is only a Gzeira, it's only an Isser Midrabanan, you would still extend it to a Karmelis as well, because even though it's a Dabra Derabanan. He says a very important Yesod here in general, about Ein goes in Gzeira al Gzeira. There are two types of Derabanans. This is, again, a very important Yesod for you guys to know. There's some Derabanans that are Gzeiras, that's a Gzeira lest it lead to something else, and some are just Asser Midrabanan. This is Isser Midrabanan. So we only have the klal ein goes in gzera al gzera when the initial iser is a gzera. But he explains that the din of chai nos et atzmo, that din of carrying someone who's alive, yes, it's an gzera, all that, yeah, it's an iser midirabanan, but it's not a gzera. It's not a gzera lest it lead to something worse. It's actually just an iser midirabanan because it's a partial hotzah. If you look at number four there, we read this together. Number four says, the Rabbi Kivi Eger, he says, Mishum, then the bold on the bottom, he said, Mishum de Svirle, the Dafka Hecha de Asirabanan, Mishum Gzeira, Kigon Ahi de Lo Yamid Adam Bershis Rabim, Vishish to Bershis Yachid, the Gzeira Shel Yimshach Eilav, a person shouldn't drink, have one part of the body here, one part of the body there, lest he pull the bucket towards him, that's a Gzeira. So there we say, Bezeh, have a Karmelis Gzeira Gzeira. We don't make a Gzeira, and a Karmelis is a double Gzeira. Vechain Beahi, a Dezeh Okir, Vezeh Meniach, Mikir Dim Midiraisa, you only violate Hotzah Midiraisa if one guy does both the Okir and the Hanacha. The Akira Hanacha by the same guy. So then, but if one guy does the Akira, and one guy does the Hanacha, that's an Isser Midirabanan. But that's a Gzeira, because if I do the Akira, I might also do the Hanacha. So those are types of cases where we say, Gzeira, ain't goes in Gzeira, Gzeira. Aval Botzah Sachai, but carrying a person who's alive, de'ein tam chazal mitam gzeira. It's not because of a gzeira that we say you can't carry a person who's alive. Ela da'asu havik tas masa b'zeh. It's a partial carrying, it's a partial package that you're carrying. So then, even though that carrying of the gzeira is only an isser midrabanan, there you would extend it b'karmelis aser. De'ma b'kach davi trei derabanan. Two derabanans are fine. Two gzeiras are not okay, but two derabanans are okay. We would extend to the abundance. That's the din of Rabbi Kivi Eger. So this is a very short overview of Chai Nos Et Atzmo, but there are many nafkaminas as it comes to halacha. So let's just stop here for this piece. I did promise I would say a little shtickle and penimis.